Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
We also know, believe, hold to, and proclaim that God Himself, through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, summed up all of the Scripture in three commands. And from those commands, our lives are changed to love God, love others, and go. When we fill the depths of those three commands with the Word of God, we look at life that there is a plan, there is a purpose, and there is a provision. And His name is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? And in that we endeavor our lives. So today we are moving forward into that truth as we look at this last sermon of this little series that I'm doing called Life in the Last Days. Now, of course, in 3 days, I cannot sum up everything that's going to happen. Is that something that is real? Yes. Because I'm not God. Jesus could probably do it in 15 minutes. It'll take me 55 years plus. So I'm still on my way because I haven't been a Christian that long. But as I look to my life and I look at who I am and the direction that I want to go, I know that life in the last days comes from His plan, His purpose, and His provision. And to that, we're going to turn our attentions today. So if you would, open your scriptures to Matthew in the book of Matthew, turn to chapter 24. And we're going to continue on from where we left off as we last met, because we started the stage last time we were together. Because Jesus was starting the narrative. He was setting the stage for each of us to understand. And now He's going to develop the theme which He's already given us, looking at the fact that these things are going to come, wars and rumors of wars, that you're going to have pestilence and you're going to have earthquakes, and all these things are going to multiply and get worse as we get closer and closer to the day. But take heart, these are simply the beginnings. And this has been happening since the day He left us and sent the Holy Spirit. We see that we are living in the end times. We are living in the age of the church. But the age of the church has an end, and we are fast approaching it as we see these things coming into our lives. And as we see these things, also God wants us to see what's going to happen to the church and to give us a plan, to give us a purpose, and to give us a provision so that we have life and have it abundantly. That is one of the things that we need to understand. How many people are out there? In fact, I just spoke to one of my elders here earlier today. How many of you realize that all-cause mortality is now 40% higher than it was pre-2020? How many of you realize suicide is up 23% since 2019? What's going on in our world? Young men are killing themselves. The highest rate of suicide in our day, in our world, is between the ages of 12 and 27. It is unbelievable. What is going on? What is happening? The very things that Christ spoke of. All of these things are bringing trouble upon our world, and He says that in those last days, because of the evil, because of the increase of lawlessness, this is Matthew 24, we read it last week. Because of these things, the love of many will grow cold, and they will leave the faith. And without faith, there is no hope, for this world has no hope, because there is no life after death in this world. The only reason we have hope, the only reason we can aspire to these things is because we see God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God brings the provision. The plan is Jesus Christ Himself, how He lived His life and how He submitted Himself to the Father through the Old Testament and brought it to us in the New Testament. How He gave us a purpose. That purpose is unto eternity. We know that we will live with Him if we accept Him and take that blood of Jesus Christ upon us. Then too shall we be resurrected from the grave, and we actually live there now. For we're alive to God even now. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, He has brought that provision who is Jesus Christ. That we may live, that we may see, and that we may help others to see the plan, see the purpose, see the provision. And from that live. Live, not just life, but live abundantly. That we know that in our end, it is our beginning. Because once this life is over, eternity begins. You see, folks, from the moment we are conceived, we are an eternal being. That is something each and every one of us needs to understand. And God says there's a plan to get you to the end, but you have to accept His plan because He's the one who purposes and He's the one who provides. Without Him, there is nothing, but in Him is everything. Can I get an amen? As we look to these words, as we see what's coming, as we understand this time, let us look to the things that are coming and determine whether or not these things are of the age or of the coming of the Christ. Because as we see them, we can begin to develop the plan that God has with His purpose and with His provision. So we're going to begin in verse 42 of chapter 24. We left off there, and if you remember, we were looking and determining, you know, is He talking about the end of the age? Is He talking about His coming? And in these things, how do we see life working it out? How do we see ourselves getting to this place where we can achieve life, and in it, the life everlasting? Again, from verse 42, he says, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom the master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I've heard this explained that in this end piece, this is when Jesus comes and this is the final judgment. No, it's not. But they're going to go out and it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't that hell? No, it's not. Hell is eternal damnation. The weeping and gnashing of teeth, the text here, when we look at this text in Matthew and we understand from its ancient words, what does it mean from the ancient Greek when we read that it's weeping and gnashing of teeth? How many of you have ever seen a dog with their fangs out? And they're growling. That's gnashing of teeth. So there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's he talking about then, Pastor? He's talking about going into the tribulation. Remember, the tribulation is going to be a horrible time for all of mankind. When we see the tribulation begin, do you realize from the beginning of the tribulation to the end of the tribulation, over three quarters of the earth is destroyed? Over three quarters of the people on the planet are destroyed. They will come against one another. Okay? There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be that constant arguing and bickering. You know, husbands and wives, how many times do you go at each other like that? We get upset with somebody, don't we? And we just bark and growl like a mad dog. I got people sitting here smiling and smirking and yeah. Jesus does not want us to live that way. He wants us to be that sensible servant. He wants us to understand. And I want you to see something here, because I'll have people who say to me, oh yeah, but pastor, that evil and wicked servant, he wasn't part of the church. Yes, he was. He's in the master's house. Each and every one of us need to understand, Jesus Christ here is telling us what it's going to be like in the church of Jesus Christ, what it's going to be like to those who call upon his name. There are people who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, but they do not serve him. Can I get an amen? That's one we don't like to amen, isn't it? But it's the truth. We have folks that are in the church that come to the church and they want their agenda. That's also why we have churches of many colors, churches of many flavors, churches of many whatever you want to call them. But there is only one church of Jesus Christ, and that is the church that follows, reads, upholds, and adores the authority of the Word of God in its full context from Genesis to Revelation, and does not change it for itself, but comes under the Word of God to understand that it is, he is, the full authority unto life. His plan for his purpose. What is his purpose? His purpose is to get us all to the end. He tells us from the Old Testament, I would that every man would repent and turn from their sins and not perish. That is the desire of God from the Old Testament, even unto now. But he knew in the law they couldn't do it. So what did he do? He sent his son to be that example of the faithful servant who gave everything, did everything, all the way up to the end, even to the giving of his own life, that all who would believe would be saved. We need to understand that there are going to be people in the church who are going to go right into the tribulation. There are going to be folks who have been in church, they're self-righteous people, look at me, you know, this is the one who started beating his brothers. How many people get beat up by the church? How many of you out there are watching on the internet because you don't want to be part of a congregation because you've been beat up by the church? The church is full of broken people. Please understand that stuff is going to happen. Don't blame God for what the church has done. Can I get an amen? But let us walk together and understand that when these things happen, now we need to address those realities. Because within the church, there is supposed to be discipline. Can I get an amen? How many of us like discipline? Raise your hand. Yeah, there's not one hand up here, and I'm sure there wasn't any up out there either. Because we don't like discipline. We use discipline for our children, don't we? But when we become adults, how dare you discipline me? Folks, we ain't grown up yet. We got to remember, we have an eternal Father in heaven who loves us, and he's going to discipline us. For what reason? To hurt us? No. To turn us, just as we discipline our children. To turn us from the things of evil, to do the things of good, that we may walk with him and be pleased with him and in him. That's his plan. That's his purpose. It's his provision. Because as he gives us these things, how do we know that he has a purpose? We see, okay, we can see you have a plan. You have a plan. You know, you want to get everybody to the end. You want us all to be obedient. Well, what's the purpose? Again, it's to see everybody saved. So what's the provision? Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? It's that simple. He has given us the way out. We do not have to be controlled by sin anymore. We need to understand that Jesus has taught us the way that we are to go. He is the what? The truth, the way, and the life. And as we come to that reality, we will grow and we will accomplish these goals because we are going to see God's purpose, not ours. How many of us want all the stuff now? It's my stuff and I want it now. Well, I hate to tell you this. There's nothing in this world that belongs to you. You got it all on loan. It's his. If you want it to be yours, go out there and speak to the wind and see what comes to you. Isn't that what God did in the beginning? And God spoke, and there was light. How many of us can speak and make light happen? Not one. Oh, but I can strike a match. Oop, Where'd you get the wood? Where'd you get the sulfur and the other compounds? You got to get all that stuff. You can't use God's. You have nothing. I have nothing. Everything we have is from God. That is His provision. Everything that's here, what am I saying? Everything that is here is at our disposal. Is everything here good for us? No. I got one gentleman over here, he's got it. It's understanding that there are things in this world we need to separate ourselves from. This evil servant should have separated himself from these drunkards. He should have separated himself from those attitudes. Did he? No. So did he separate himself from sin? No. He chose sin. And in choosing sin, what happens? We die. That's one example. Let's read another. Looking back to your Bibles. From chapter 25. Beginning in the first verse. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Now, in this parable, I've heard it explained several different ways. In fact, I have used it to speak of the provisions of God and what have you, and that is truth. There's nothing wrong with preaching it in that manner. But here, Jesus Christ is talking about the church in the end days. He is talking about the end of the church again. Why is it so important for us to understand what it's going to be like at the end? Because there are going to be many who are not going to be ready. They absolutely put nothing into it. They have absolutely no vestment in the process, in their own lives. They are not following God's plan. They are not following God's purpose. They're not following God's provision. They ask for a covering, and Jesus gives them the covering. But now you have to walk in His plan, in His purpose, with His provision. Those 5 virgins that were foolish did not bring any oil with them. Did they have a plan? No. Did they have a purpose? Well, they wanted to get to the party. And did they have a provision? No, they made absolutely no provision. You see, folks, we can't have one of the three and expect to be there. We need all three pieces of what Jesus is trying to teach us here. The first virgins were ready. Well, you know, hey, why didn't they give some of their stuff to the ones that didn't have it? Isn't that the Christian thing to do? How can I give you something I don't control? I don't control how you prepare. I don't control the Holy Spirit that's in you. I don't control your obedience. How can I give you something that is His? Only He can give you those things. And that's what He's talking about here. They never besought Him in their walking, in their being, to be prepared. 5 of them did. And they brought it with them. How many of us walk through life prepared in Jesus Christ for whatever's coming? I'm going to dare say not many of us. We just kind of go at life, don't we? We open the door and say, well, here we go again. And we head out there to see what's going to happen. How many of us start our day in prayer, in scripture reading, asking the Lord to prepare us, to go before us, to give us the victory, and we don't even know what today holds? And then before we go, you praise him for the good result. How many of us wait till the end of the day to praise him because we don't know if it ended well? Folks, if you're in Christ Jesus, you can walk out that door, get hit by a car, and guess what? It ends well because we are in the Lord. They can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Can I get an amen? Do you see there's a depth to these things that most of us don't even get? And yes, as a pastor, I get to invest hours of research, okay? So please learn from these things. Draw from them the hope that is in Christ Jesus. That we need to understand God wants us vested in his plan, which means what? We have got to access the five goals, which we spoke of on the very first sermon. We have got to walk with him. We have got to watch with him. We have got to witness with him. We have got to worship with him. And we have got to work with him. And that means his spirit in us doing these things. We simply give him access to ourselves as obedient vessels. The whole reason the virgins were going along, they weren't getting married, but the whole reason they were going along is because God planned it that they would be there, that they are part of this wonderful thing that is taking place. Folks, we know we are the bride of Jesus Christ. He's giving us that very reality. But we need to see just what God wants us to be and how he wants us to go. He wants us to understand that in his coming, there are going to be some who are in the church that aren't going to make it because they are not vested. Are you vested? Are you invested in what he is asking us to do? Are you giving to him? Are you accepting? Because I'm going to tell you right now, some of these people, they've accepted the first goal. They are walking as far as they're concerned with Jesus. But have they given anything else? No. Look at their commitment level. Where's your commitment level to Jesus Christ? Where's my commitment level to Jesus Christ? There are going to be many who are going to say to me in that day, the Lord Jesus said, Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. And I'm going to say unto them, away from me, for I never knew you. You know, there's talk here of these virgins, and the door was shut. And they stood at the door and hollered, Lord, Lord. Did they get in? No. Folks, we need to understand the time is growing short. We need to get invested. We need to look at these goals that God has given us and understand that these goals lead us towards his plan, which is all of us in eternity, us who have worked with him, who have done what he asked, who have watched with him, who have witnessed with him and have worshiped him, because it's all part of love. God loved us so much that he gave everything. He's not asking us to give our lives, but he's asking us to give our lives. Well, but Pastor, that's what? He's not asking you to die for him. He's asking you to die in him. You either understand that or you don't. And I pray you do. Because when we die in him, we come into the kingdom. Because he is the kingdom. Does he give us more? Oh my, does he give us more? Let's look at the Bible here, and we're going to go to verse 14. We're going to look at verse 14, and we're going to read through 30 on this one. He says, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. Now, I'm going to stop. Who did he call? His own slaves. So these are, will you agree with me, okay, because I got to lead you into these things. Would you agree with me, this is the church. These are those who have called him their own. Am I seeing that? Are we reading it correctly? They are his. Are they in the church? Yes. Are they saved? Yeah. They're his. What does he say? No one can snatch them from my hand. Are they saved? Yes. Well, watch what happens to one of them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Now I got to stop again. Did God overbear these people? No, because you see, God has the plan. He knows what's going on, and he also has the purpose. He knows that you can only do so much. He knows where you are in your faith and your abilities, because God has given us those abilities. So the provision that he brings onto the kingdom is only what you can handle. How many of you feel like you're handling more than you can right now? I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the truth. The devil is lying to you, and you need to get beyond him. Call him the liar that he is and trust Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? We got to remember, a lot of the junk we walk into is because of our own stupidity. Can I get an amen? Because we did something that we shouldn't have done or didn't do something that we should have. So again, it's understanding. We got to, every day, we got to look at his plan, his purpose, his provision. Every day needs to be focused into that. Because when it is, God's there to provide. So when we're finally awake, we can actually walk. Now, to those who are becoming awake and you're seeing that you haven't walked as God wants you to walk, there's hope, because God says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. What's that mean? That means if you submit yourself to his plan, if you submit yourself to his purpose, if you submit yourself to his provision, and you start working towards walking in the victory, you begin working in watching the times and seeing what's happening and getting ready to witness to the wonders of God and how he has led you, to worship his glory, even when things don't go right according to our needs. Because then that means we are committed to the work that he has given us, the 5 goals. And as we do, we have life and we have it abundantly. How do I know that? Let's read on from verse 16. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. To the one who had received the 5 talents, he came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Here are these 2. They were given more than the last. They weren't given more because they were better. They were given more because God knew their capability. Because God knows who we are. He knows how we are equipped. He knows what he has given unto us. And the ability to achieve is there for each and every one of us according to that truth. He knows some of us are going to go on to big things. Okay? I think it's funny. Everybody wants to be Moses, but nobody wants to do the work to get there. How many people want Moses' experiences in their lives? Well, where's the burning bush, Lord? Well, if you're going to see a burning bush, you better be ready to do what it takes to see that burning bush. How many of you want what he had to go through? I certainly don't. Lord, put me in charge of 1 thing. I don't need 5, okay? How many things was Moses in charge of? An entire nation, over 4 million people. Nah, not for this old boy. Because I know I'm not capable of that. So God has given me, He's given each of you according to your capabilities. And when we work the plan of God, when we work the purpose of God, when we work the provision of God, that we walk, we watch, we witness, we worship, and we work, they succeeded in everything they did. Now, how many of you right now look at yourself and say, yes, I'm a success? You are very humble people. Nobody's raising their hands, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, I know you. Many of you are succeeding very well. Yeah, but Pastor, I got all this stuff going on, and it's this, and it's that, and it's the next thing. Would you stop? Are you walking in Christ? Are you watching in Christ? Are you witnessing in Christ? Are you worshiping in Christ? And are you working in Christ? Yes. Then you're succeeding. You see, we listen to the lies of the evil one. We listen to the lies of the evil one. And we think we're less than. God doesn't expect you to be any more than you. Did you just hear me? But He expects you to walk with Him, to be with Him in all things, to submit to His plan, to submit to His purpose, to submit to His provision. Because if we don't, let's watch what happens. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. Throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, this slave goes into the time of tribulation. But I want you to notice the attitude of this man, of this slave. How does he describe God? What is his view of God? You see, he believed God to be a hard man. He believed God to be one who reaps where he doesn't sow. He believed God to be something other than who God is. For God sows generously into the lives of each and every one of us. For the seed that he gives is in us. And then it's for you to take that seed out. Can I get an amen, church? For the seed is in us. That is the Spirit of God that is in us, to take that out. That's part of the goals that we're speaking about. This one heard the lie from the Satan and said, I can't do this because he's a hard man. God's not a hard God. God is a good God. God is a loving God. These other two knew that, and they went out joyfully, and they gathered twice what they already had. The lies of the evil one are here to stop us and to get us ripped out of the kingdom. You heard me say before, our salvation is secure, for nothing will snatch you out of his hand. What happened? This one threw his salvation away because he would not believe the truth of God. He would not believe the plan. He would not believe the purpose, and he would not believe the provision. So he trusted not in God. Can you see it? There are going to be many people out there in Christendom who are going to say, that guy's a Pharisee, that guy has no idea what he's talking about, because once a Christian, always a Christian. Wrong chicken. You can't lose your salvation like you lose your car keys. But you can throw it away just like you do the trash every day. And how many people are? I'm telling you right now, it's going to get harder. That's what Jesus said. Because of these things that are going to increase, because of the hatred, because of the lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. The love of what? The love of God. For if we don't love God, we will not love others and we will not go. Can you see it, church? Am I preaching to those who have sight or those who are blind? I pray I'm preaching to those who have sight and are gaining it, that they become not blind again. Can I get an amen? Whew. You all look like, wow. I told you I wanted to start with the goals. Why? Because the goals pump us up. They give us purpose. They give us hope. They show us where we're going. But we need to watch, because there's one who wants to strip it away. And it's going to happen. Half, you know, look at this. Half of the virgins didn't make it. One third of these slaves who were entrusted didn't make it. What's Jesus telling us? It's going to be tough, but continue to the end. Because it is in the end we will receive the crown of life. Can I get an amen, church? And that's where we have to be. And that's my encouragement to each and every one of you. Walk with Christ. Watch with Christ. Witness with Christ. Worship Christ and work with Him. Because now we have purpose. Because we can see His plan and we can receive His provision. Because if we don't receive the provision, we'll never make it, because you and I do not have the provision unto eternal life. Only He does. And the purpose is His, that all would come. And we have to buy into that, that we don't and I've heard many people say this, yeah, but some people are destined, they're damned for hell, it doesn't matter what we do. Yeah, that still means you need to be obedient and share the Word of God with people. I don't care if they reject it. Remember, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus Christ. Because that's His plan. The plan is to let everyone know. The plan is for you to go. The plan is for me to go. And the plan is for you to go. And be the church of Jesus Christ. And as we are, we will receive the victory. How much victory do you think we're going to see? I cannot wait to get to heaven. You know, as a pastor, and I'm going to share something about pastors that you know, some of you probably know, because you know me, I speak the truth, I'm not ashamed of myself. We wonder if we're effective. Is anybody getting this? Am I making a difference? I can't wait to get to heaven. Because God has said, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what is in store for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? That is fantastical. But one of the things I know I'm going to get to see when I get there, and I don't do what I do because of this, but I know I'm going to see it, is the number of people that I never met that are going to come up to me and say, because you did, I'm here. You see, we don't realize the people we touch. We do not realize the lives that we change. And one of the things that you need to understand is every life that you affect change in also affects change in other lives. So guess who it's accredited to? You see, God's not a stingy God. What does He just say? What did we just read here? Take what this one had, because they don't have it anymore, and give it to the one who has, because everyone who has will be given more. Are you catching it? We don't serve a stingy God. We serve a God who says, you know what? You gained this. Guess what? Because you did and you gave to this one, they all get it. The whole way down and the whole way back. Everybody receives. And what you did is multiplied. God is not one who divides. God is one who multiplies. And we need to understand that very truth and that very reality. That as you and I walk in this world, we have the hope of all eternity. And it's glorified and multiplied unto us. What does Satan come to do? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He tears it all down. He takes everything away from us. But yet, how many people were walking into that very reality, committing suicide, doing things in our world that harm other people? Why? Because they've bought the lies. They've bought the lies. And in those lies, there's death. But in the truth of Jesus Christ, there's life. And when we follow God's plan and purpose, there's life for us. But what about those who don't? Let's read the last portion of Scripture, and then we're going to wrap up. From verse 31. He says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The King will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of Mine, even the least of them, you did it to Me.' Then He will also say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick, in prison, and you did not visit Me.' Then they themselves will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then He will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me.' These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Right there, we see the end of time. We see the beginning of the millennium. There are going to be those who are going to be saved out of the tribulation. Some of these Christians that I just spoke of, who aren't going to be taken up as the bride of Christ, are going to get the second opportunity to live with God, but they have to get it right without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because right now, the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and He is going to be taken away. He's still going to be here, but He's going to be as He was in the Old Testament. He will not indwell people anymore. That was reserved for the church. But there will be those who, because they were in the church, but they rejected God, are going to have to walk without the power of the Holy Spirit, not taking the mark of the beast, living a life of persecution. Many of them are going to be beheaded. But those who survive to the end, He will gather all the peoples, and the righteous He will call sheep, and to those who are going unto damnation, He will call goats. And the separation happens at the end. That's the judgment unto the millennium. Because remember, at the end of the millennium, hell is taken up and judged. You and I need to see there's a time coming that things are going to get hard. God is a God of opportunity. But right now, the opportunity is to work with Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. So how many of you want to work with Him now, today, in the power of the Holy Spirit, rather than without the power of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I got hands going up. I want to be in the Holy Spirit. I want to be empowered. I want to receive the plan. I want to receive the purpose. I want to receive the provision that I may be Jesus in the Christ and walk and have this abundant life, not only now but forevermore. But we serve such a wonderful, loving God that He says, okay, even those of you who missed the first ride, I'm giving you one more shot. But you're going to do it on your own now. It's not going to be easy. You know, there are going to be people, and I've buried people who have said, I did everything on my own. I did it all by myself. God never helped me one bit. Where do you think those people are? They have denounced God before man. What does God say he'll do before his Father in heaven? He'll denounce them. You and I have been given this wonderful opportunity, and I pray, especially pray, because we're going into Lent. Lent starts here on Wednesday, and I pray each and every one of us understand where God is in all of this. He has given us life and life abundant. And even though we see all this stuff out here falling apart, and how many of you are seeing it fall apart? It's getting tough, ain't it? You know, I just read an article where the USDA is telling us that, you know, hey, coming into spring and through summer and fall, there's going to be a meat shortage. How many of you like paying what you're paying at the grocery store now? What do you think happens when they kill a third of the cattle in Australia and half of all the cattle in Europe? Folks, we're seeing the pestilence. We're seeing the famine. It's coming. Much of it's here. The question is, where are you in this? Are you walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you moving towards the goals of victory? You know, we're all in a race, aren't we? How many of you feel like you're in a race? I mean, I think it's funny because, you know, normally in a race you can see the end line and it seems to get closer. How many of you feel like it's getting further away? You know, the older I get, I know I'm getting closer to it because there's only so many years of life that we get to live. But I swear it seems like that end can be so far away, especially when Satan gets up here. But as soon as I turn my heart to the Lord, it's as if, man, I don't have far to go. I got a lot to do before I get there. Let's walk. That's why I didn't say run with victory. Walk in the victory. Take your time. Get there. And while you're taking your time on this side, watch. Look into the lives of everybody you know. You have the plan, the purpose, and the provision in your own life. Help others to see it and then witness. Witness to that truth and that reality. And when that person finally receives it, and you may have to go back again and again and again and again, but when they finally receive it, then what do? We worship. And we're not done because there's yet more work to do. Do you see the five goals? Do you see how they take you right back to the beginning to start the whole process over again? Jesus has a plan. He has a purpose. And he is our provision. Let's give it to him. What am I talking about? Our lives. Because in that we will live and have life abundant. Pray with me, church. Father God, we do thank you that you have given us what we need to look at life in the last days. You have a plan, you have a purpose, and you have a provision. May we walk with you, may we watch with you, may we witness with you, may we worship with you, and may we work with you unto the salvation of others. Loving God, loving others, and going into all of this world. For Lord God, you are the victory, and you would that everyone would come unto you. So Lord, as we wait for the great and fateful day when the fullness of the Gentiles truly comes in, may we be found as these faithful servants, as the virgins who were prepared, and may we be those who were willing to take what was given and turn it into so much more, because we see the joy, the love, and the hope that you truly are. Bless this hearing of your word unto the salvation of our souls and the many who will believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.